This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. It's Top Text Tuesday. Great to have you guys rocking and rolling, getting involved. Dixon's firing back at Eastside Chris here. Brady, I have a big meeting coming up later this afternoon, and I want to announce my presence with authority, so if you don't mind, I'm going to come by the studio a little after 2 o'clock and hope to see you walk out of the studio so I can copy your gait. Is that cool with you? It was a little creepy, Eastside Chris. Dixon says, I'd be cool with the Nuggets trading Bull for a bag of chips. Feels like he's kind of a sideshow type player, and I don't think his game really translates to extended minutes. Man, it would have been cool if that would have worked, though. Just didn't quite work out. And maybe someday it will. Somewhere else, probably. I think this summer league thing is legit. This is weird, man. The Portland Trailblazers have guys that are 97 years old on there. It's nuts. All right, Drew Kreisman joining us now, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. Drew, my friend, always great to catch up with you. I'm just blown away by stuff I see on Twitter. I can never tell if it's real or fake or what have you.
Same.
Same. I mean, I know we're talking baseball, but I'm looking at the Portland Trailblazers sharing their summer league teams, and you got Michael Beasley on there, you got Moutier, you got Kenneth Fareed. These guys are like 87 years old, and they're on the summer league, and I'm like, this is fake. Someone's trying to mess with me, but it looks legit.
I know, right? I know. Every once in a while, a trade will go down in baseball, and I'll be like, that guy's still playing in Major League Baseball? No.
I know.
You know.
They slip through the cracks sometimes. It does happen. All right, Drew. Talk to us about the trades that weren't last week. Everybody kind of expecting Trevor Story, and then as it kind of progressed, we thought maybe it's not going to happen, and then it didn't happen. So first off, how did Trevor feel about this, and then what happens next? We just lost you, man. Okay. Right when you were answering, so if you can rewind for us. Talk to us about trade. I knew you were going to do that. I could have predicted it.
Yep.
All right. So how was Trevor after the trade that wasn't?
Not happy, and I think that's been pretty well reported. You know, and a lot of that really just comes down to expectations. And it's not even that coming into the year, Trevor was like, man, I really hope I get traded. But I think he, like all the rest of us, could see the writing was on the wall. He can read, you know, newspapers and listen to my podcast if he wants to, though I don't think he does that. But, you know, he knows how to get information as well. And so I think he had just kind of come to terms with the fact that he was going to get traded. And like anybody, you know, once you've come to terms with whatever your new reality is, you start kind of dreaming on it and going, you know, actually, going and playing for a contender for the rest of the year would be great. It's been a rough season here. There's been a lot of drama. It might be nice to just kind of get away from this, see what I can do. He's had a rough season, you know, and so I can totally get him wanting to just, you know, kind of flush it and start over new, and that he doesn't really get an opportunity to do that, that he's stuck in a place playing games where they're not going to the postseason. And the other part of this that I don't think is getting talked about too much is that Trevor really hasn't been having a good season. So now, like, he's an impending free agent, and of course everyone's been assuming he's going to get this big giant contract, but he really needs to play well down the stretch in a league that's not handing out those kinds of contracts nearly as often as they used to. And it's right before what is expected to be a pretty heated labor negotiations between the players union and the owners and all that with the CBA. I don't think they're going to start next baseball season on time. So that's a heck of an entire of an environment for Trevor Story to be going into and trying to build his, you know, his next big contract. So I get why he's frustrated and angry and upset. And if I was in his position, I probably would be too. I think a little bit too much has been made out of, like, he's upset because he thinks the Rockies are a joke and he wants to get out of here as soon as possible. Like, it's not like that. Trevor doesn't think that way. not that kind of dude. He has all the respect in the world for his teammates. But, yeah, he was excited about the possibility of going somewhere and playing some competitive baseball and maybe building up that resume, maybe under the bright lights of New York City or, you know, for a contender out west and really making a name for himself. And I get it. I'd be frustrated, too.
It is interesting, though, because you and I have talked about it several times. I mean, pretty much anybody you ask is like, yeah, I would imagine they're gonna trade Trevor Story. They're going to try to get something because he's not going to be a Rocky next year. But what was the thought process? At least what do you think the thought process was? I'm going to ask you to do the impossible and try to get inside the brains of Rocky's brass. What was the thought process there? Is there some, I mean, I'm going to hate myself for asking this, but is there an inkling that they think they could maybe get him to stay long term?
I don't think that's very likely. There was some conversation about that, and Bill Schmidt said we'd really like to come to him with an offer, and we're going to talk to him in the offseason. And it's not an impossibility. I don't think that's really what they're banking on. I think what they're banking on, and a lot of people really roll their eyes at this, I don't think it's ludicrous. I wouldn't have done it, but I don't think it's ludicrous. If what happens at the end of the season, the Rockies slap a qualifying offer on Trevor Story. If he accepts it, they just automatically keep him for another year at right around like $18 or $19 million. And then they can decide to trade him in the offseason or next year, or maybe they're better and they build around him. Who knows? They worked on an extension. Again, very unlikely he takes that. Most guys of his caliber decline the qualifying offer. And when they do that, the team gets a compensatory draft pick that's sandwiched between the first and second round. So basically a late first-round draft pick. And the Rockies are assuming that whatever they're going to be able to get with that draft pick is going to be more valuable than what they would have been able to get at the trade deadline in return. Mm-hmm. And without knowing specifically what they were offered, it's hard to 100% say they wouldn't have, especially given that, again, Trevor has not been playing well this year and he's been injured. So I think a lot of Rockies fans assume he's Trevor freaking Story. You got to be able to get something great for that guy. But whoever's buying him, the Mets didn't buy Javier freaking Baez. They bought 2 months of whatever he's going to do now. Because they don't care about his resume. They don't care about what he does next year. Whoever was getting Trevor was getting 2 months of who he is right now. And who he is right now, unfortunately, I don't think was as enticing to as many teams it could have been. Now, I have to imagine, Brady, there was an offer out there that I would have taken. Again, you asked me to put the hat on. So I imagine that there was an offer out there that I personally would have taken. That said, compensatory draft picks that the Rockies have taken over the years include Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackmon, and yes, Trevor Story. And so it's not like they're not getting anything. They get nothing. This draft pick, just recently they picked up Jaden Hill. That was their compensatory pick this year. A lot of people thought he could have gone 1-1, a college pitcher who only because of injury fell to them in the 30s, and so maybe in the 40s. And so I've also done a look at the history of teams that sell at the trade deadline and move the star player and get that package of prospects everyone can dream on for the future. Maybe 1 out of 10 times that package of prospects turns into something awesome.
Yeah.
And I know it's great to dream on and you want to improve the farm system, and they could have and they should have. But did the Rockies set themselves back a decade by not getting this massive haul? Go back and look at the hauls that Seattle got for Cliff Lee, or what Houston got for Roy Oswalt, or what the team that gets the star player always ends up on the better side of those deals. And you look back at those prospect names who were exciting at the time, and you go, oh, that guy never made it to the big leagues. That guy never made it to the big leagues. That guy was a journeyman. You know, so should they have played it better? Yes. But is it very possible that actually whatever they get for a compensatory pick in basically the second round next year will be better than, I don't know, a couple of C-level prospects that they would have gotten a couple of days ago? I think that's very possible. I don't think that's unreasonable anyway.
Drew Kreisman joining us, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. All right, so on the other side of things, on the defensive side, pitching side, John Gray was the big name there. And that was the one I was really concerned. And I know I'm a fanboy of John Gray, but just trying to be analytical here, we've talked about it and said, hey, pitching is where you got to build. You got to build around the pitching. Trevor Story's nice. Nolan Arenado, I get it, one of the best third basemen of all time. But if you don't got the pitching, you're not going to do anything. And we talked about continuing to build around Gray. What does the Gray situation look like? I mean, that seems like there's potential that a deal could get done and he could remain a Rocky.
Yeah, and that looks like the most likely outcome to me. That was kind of the other really funny thing. These two things were happening at the same time. People were insisting on this narrative that Trevor Story proves that nobody wants to be a Colorado Rocky, but we're getting all these quotes from John Gray about how, I just want to wear purple. I want to be here for my whole career. This is where I want to be. I want to be a Rocky. And then the Rockies coming out and say, we want John Gray. We want to build around this starting pitching. And I think that was actually the other bigger storyline. And a lot of people are against this, and I totally understand why. People have been saying, what is the Rockies' plan? They have no plan. I think their plan more clearly emerged over all of this. And they basically said, we're building around these starters. We're not going to plan to be bad for the next couple of years and just tank everybody out. So we're going to build around these starters. We're going to sign free agent bats in the offseason because we believe that we can improve our offense. And we already have great starting pitching. Bullpens, you know, volatile things in sports, and the bullpen has to be dramatically better. But you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of resources to make your bullpen better. So, while the Rockies feel like they're forever away from contending, I actually agree with their assessment that with this starting pitching group, they're not. They need some bats, and they need some creative solutions in the bullpen, but with this group of starters, with Gray, Marquez, Freeland, Gomber, Senzatella, right behind them with Peter Lambert, Ryan Rollison, and Helkers Olivares, like, they've got top-end talent, they've got depth, they've got guys who are used to it. We were talking about this on the podcast the other day, Brady. The Rockies have never, in their entire history, had a group of veteran pitchers who all have experience at Coors Field.
Wow. I
mean, never.
And that's something to think about because, well, and what I think's interesting, Drew, about this whole thing, and I know it's been frustrating, the Nolan thing, the Trevor thing, but it's like you've kind of tried that and you put a lot of money into those areas and it didn't really work. As you just said, you've never had this many collective pitchers, starting pitchers that are pretty damn solid. You've never had that. And Freeland got off to a slow start because of the injury. So you've never had that before. And I like the old saying, you know, if this doesn't work, we'll go back to what wasn't working before.
Exactly right. But I'd love to see them double down on this whole thing, really go hard in on the pitching. Yeah, bring in some bats. But I do believe if they spend creatively in this offseason, they can get right back to being a decent team, because it really does. Look at what they've done this year. Look at how terrible they feel like they should be but aren't. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does actually make sense.
Yeah, and it's because of the starting pitching. How many games have they been in? Even a lot of these games they lost. Look at that last California trip. They could very easily have swept the Dodgers in L.A. Now, they dropped 2 of 3. They won one in big fashion there late. But that's, again, how far away are you really? Well, when you have starting pitching of this caliber, you're not as far away as it feels. You have to plug all of those other holes. You can't have great starting pitching and one of the worst bullpens ever and one of the worst offenses that your franchise has ever put out there. That's who the Rockies are this year. But if you make a – in fact, I've seen them. The Colorado Rockies with great pitching and a mediocre offense and bullpen can get to the postseason. You know how I know that for sure? They did it in 2017 and 2018. I watched them.
Yeah. Well, it's I tell you, and this season too, Drew, and I know we're not dreaming big or anything, but these next few games, homestand here, you're, 14 games under 500? I'm just looking at 65. That's all I'm looking at. The over and under, I've been thinking about all year because, you know, so many people are, oh, there's no way they'll even get close to 65. Sitting at 46, you got plenty of games to go, and you got a nice little homestand against teams that maybe you match up well against in Chicago and Miami.
Yeah. I know some people are rooting for the higher draft pick, but, you know, for people who just like winning baseball games, one of the reasons I was adamant that the Rockies wouldn't lose 100 this year was, one, the starting pitching that we just talked about, and two, the probability that they weren't going to go all out, sell, tear down, rebuild the way some of these other teams do, because they've never done that. And there's mixed science about how successful that really can be. Worked for the Astros and Cubs, not so much for the Pirates and Mariners. But, you know, the fact that I was like, they're not just going to get rid of everybody, and other teams are. So you got the Cubs, whatever's left of them coming to town. You got the Nationals. No idea who plays on that team anymore. Like, and you know, these, and so if you like to win games, the Rockies have some very winnable ones. And they've also been an improving team because of so much youth. Well, some of these guys are like 27 years old, but they've never played Major League Baseball before. So, you know, of course they were going to have their biggest ups and downs, and mostly the downs at the beginning of the season when they're still acclimating to the level. But, yeah, I think they're in for a strong finish. I picked them 70 wins at the beginning of the year. And I'm feeling better and better about that every day, honestly.
Yeah, well, especially the last three out of six or whatever road game. They're winning some road games now. So
four road wins on the last road trip, man.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a victory. It feels like a World Series at this point, man, with everything
right.
That's happened. Drew, appreciate you as always, man. What are you working on for us that we can check out at DNVR Rockies?
Yeah, just published, actually, right before coming on here, a big thing about Raimel Tapia. Surprise, surprise. But the thing is here, I feel like I've written 25 articles over the years and done so many podcasts about his bat and why it's a little different than people realize. But this year he's been extraordinary defensively and on the bases, and I lay it all out there. He's basically gone from a guy who was a net in those particular spots to a guy who's a major asset. And that's a big development for him.
Yeah.
So that's the big one up right now.
He took a gigantic leap, no doubt about it. Drew, appreciate you as always, man. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies, our Rockies insider. Looks like Melo is going to the Lakers. So, man, we're getting them all together. Melo, Westbrook, LeBron. I mean, just bringing old Lakers over left and right, or old guys over left and right to be on the Lakers team. I'll read some text when we come back. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.